I like Sunday nights around here. How about you? Chris, just you and me? It was just us two guys. Maybe I said it too fast. I sure like Sunday nights around here. How about you guys? Yeah. We're going to get you shouting one of these days. I want to talk about baptism tonight. And since we had Exhibit A, B, and C tonight, I thought it would be a good time for us as a church just to spend some time studying what God's Word has to say about baptism. We talk about baptism a lot, we see baptism a lot, but we rarely have kind of a complete teaching on baptism. I'm going to use some of our time tonight to do that, and you might be thinking, well, hey, I understand all of this. You might understand all of this. I guarantee you, you know lots of people who don't understand what I'm going to tell you tonight. Now, tonight I'm not going to tell you my opinion about stuff. I'm going to show you what the Bible says about baptism. There's a lot of opinions about baptism. There's a lot of, you know, information going here and there, and there are various traditions and that kind of thing. In a Baptist church, we kind of don't go in for all of that. What we do is we just open the Bible, and we say, what do we see in the Bible? What does the Bible say about this? There are folk that are not Baptists that believe the same way. They open the Bible, they say, what does the Bible say about baptism? And tonight, that's kind of what we want to do. And so I've entitled my message tonight. It'll be a little bit of an unusual message, but I hope it'll be helpful to you. I've entitled my message, Frequently Asked Questions About Baptism, and that's what we're going to be doing tonight. Now tonight, I want to encourage you to pay careful attention, and it's going to be kind of a lot of stuff. And so, don't worry about writing it all down. We have some slides for you to see, but we'll have. I tried to print them tonight. I've been having a little trouble. We got demons in the works here in the printer and so forth, and we're unable to exercise those. And so we're just going to have to go with what we have here. What we're going to do later on is we'll print those out for you if you like, or we'll put them on the internet so that you can look them up. And here's why. Many of you need to instruct yourself, your own heart, about baptism because it's so important. Jesus talked about it and commanded it. A lot of you need to be able to train your own children or your grandchildren and instruct them in baptism. Now, folks, when it comes to things like salvation, baptism, the Lord's Supper, the things the Scripture talks about, they were ordinances that the Lord Jesus gave to the church, the baptism and the Lord's Supper. They're so important that what happens is there are forces at work, and I kidded about, you know, demons in the copier, but I'm really not sure that's not true, because there are forces at work that don't want people to understand about salvation. Satan doesn't want you to get that. Satan, the devil, doesn't want you to understand baptism. He doesn't want you to be baptized. He doesn't want you to obey the Lord in any step of the Christian journey. And so tonight we're going to do something that's just rarely done, and that is we're just going to take the Bible and I'm going to teach you what the Bible says about baptism. And so I'm going to do it in a question and answer format, and I hope when I do this you're going to go, oh yeah, I had that question, and we'll give you answers from the Bible. And again, the notes will be available for this, and we hope to put it online, even though I might preach a real dud tonight. It might not be worth putting online, but if we do, you can listen to it again, or you can give it to friends, and you can help people understand. And I hope that by the end of what I say tonight, in these next few minutes, you'll have in your heart a clear understanding. And what happened with Emily, and what happened with Jamie, and what happened with Little Hope tonight, it'll help you to understand what those precious young ladies were doing and the significance of that. And so I trust that that'll be special for them and for their families and for each of us tonight. Hey, I need help. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to pray for me while I'm praying, that God will help me tonight to make this really clear. Okay? Lord, I love you very much, and I still remember the night that I followed you in baptism. It was so cold, and it was something. And I remember my eagerness to be a follower of you. And through the years, Lord, I think back, and I have no regrets that I followed you. I have many, many painful memories of my own failures, but Lord, all good about you. And I thank you, Lord, tonight we could be here in this beautiful place to see these precious young women follow you in believers' baptism and devote their lives to your service and to following you. Thank you for the beauty of the music that we've enjoyed today and just the fellowship with other Christian people. And I pray for your help tonight as I teach this part of your word to folks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, here's some questions. First, why be baptized? Why do people do that? Why are we baptized? And this is a simple and clear answer. And if you take your Bible, and you don't need to do this right now, but if you were to take your Bible, you were to take to the New Testament, and you were to open the Bible to the first book in the New Testament, you have there the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew's Gospel. When it comes to the end, what you have there is Jesus, after he lived a sinlessly perfect life, died for our sins, was buried, rose again, came back to life. Later, he ascended to heaven. Just before he ascended to heaven, he spoke to his followers, and he said, I want you to go, and I want you to make other followers, other disciples, other followers. You're following me. I want you to teach other people to follow me, and I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and I want you to teach them everything I've taught you. Now, that was a little bit of a loose paraphrase about what Jesus said, but in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, maybe you're just a little child, a young person, and so you say, why be baptized? Here's the quick and easy answer on that, because Jesus said to be baptized. That's kind of all you need to know about anything. Now, there's a lot more to it, but this is the essence of it. Why be baptized? Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, after you believe, to be baptized. And that one of the places in the Bible that says that is in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. When should I be baptized? Well, according to the Bible, you should be baptized immediately after you're saved. Now, how do we know this? Really, because that's what you see in the Bible. Let me show you a whole bunch of examples here in the Bible. Whoops, I went too far. There they are. Those that were saved on Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, it says, those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. The Samaritan men and women in Acts 8, what we're going to do here is going through the book of Acts. I'm showing you examples of people who, when they heard about Jesus, when they heard that Jesus had died for their sins and what Jesus wanted them to do, they believed in Jesus, they were forgiven of their sins, and then they immediately were baptized. Over and over again, that's what it says in the Bible, and you have all these examples. The Samaritan men and women in Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. Simon. And Simon is interesting, because was Simon saved? Go ahead, answer out loud. How many of you say yes? Raise your hand. How do you say Simon wasn't saved? Raise your hand. How do you go, I don't like voting in church? Raise your hand. Yeah. You people. I don't think he was, but he got baptized. So here's what you got. You have a guy that says, yeah, I want to get saved. He gets baptized by an apostle. And then later find out he was not really saved. Acts chapter 8, verse 13, if you want to check me out. All right, Acts chapter 8, verse 13 through 18. He says he's saved. The apostles baptize him. Find out later he's not really saved. Some of you are thinking, you know, hey, I don't know about getting baptized. I don't know about baptizing people right away. Because if we baptize somebody right away, we find out later on they weren't really saved. We got a baptized unbeliever. Not a good thing, right? But that's going to be on their conscience. That's going to be on their heart. And so the scriptures talk about baptism immediately after people get saved. So when should you get baptized? Right away. Ethiopian eunuch. How about that for a mouthful? What a story that is if you look there in Acts chapter 8 and you have this man who's attendant to royalty in a chariot. He's reading a scroll of Isaiah. And he's, what does this mean? And he gets saved and he gets in the water to be baptized and he follows the Lord immediately in baptism. And Saul, when he was saved, and you know his dramatic story on the road to Damascus, sees a great light. He has an amazing conversion and he is baptized immediately thereafter. There was a guy in the Bible named Cornelius and there was the Philippian jailer there. These are just examples from the Bible of people who were baptized immediately after they're saved. So that's the answer to that question. Here's another question. Can you be saved without being baptized? Can you be saved without being baptized? In other words, here's kind of another way of putting it. Let's say you go to a meeting and somebody tells you the gospel. You know, let's say you go in the meeting and you know you're a sinner. You remember all the things that you've done in your life that people know about and people don't know about. Somebody comes along and he says to you, guess what? It's not that you have to try to be good and God looks at how good you are and he lets you in heaven because you're good. It's this. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He paid for every shameful thing that you don't want anybody to know about. And if you believe that Jesus is who he said he is, you can pass from death unto life. You can be right with God and have your sins forgiven. And you're like, are you serious? It seems like that's too good to be true. You mean it's not something I do, it's something that Jesus did for me. Yes, that's it. Then my works have no part in my salvation. Your works have no part in your salvation. That's good news, because you're a sinner. You are. So am I. We have that Bible, the the Bible says that we're all sinners, and we've all violated God's law, broken God's law over and over, and you know that. So you hear this gospel preacher telling you that Jesus died for your sins, and that if you believe, your sins can be instantly and immediately forgiven. Maybe he uses the term born again, like it says in John chapter 3, and you're immediately given life. It's like birth or marriage. In one moment you're not born, and the next moment you're born. In one moment you're not married, the next moment you're married. In one moment you're not saved, the next moment you're saved. It's just that quick. It's not that you go through a series of rituals and all of that, you get saved, all right? Now, let's say that in your heart, this is you believe in your heart that Jesus is who he said he is. You're so excited, you go forward. And let's say that they're going to fill the baptistry, but you drop dead of a heart attack before you get in. How do you like my story? It's bad, I know, yeah, but it's just a story, okay? Okay, do you go to heaven or hell? But you're not baptized. Here's what the Bible says. All right, according to the scriptures, can you be saved without being baptized? Well, certainly, if you're a follower of Jesus, you want to be baptized. That's what he said. But listen, let me give you some examples here. First of all, you have the thief on the cross. You remember there were thieves on either side of Christ. Both initially were mocking. One came to believe. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. When he saw who Jesus was, knew that he was sinless, he said, remember me when you come to your kingdom. Jesus said to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. That's kind of cool. Because when we have that story, aren't you glad that's kind of in the Bible? I'm glad it is, because I think, okay, here's a person who he didn't have a chance to teach Sunday school, drive a school bus, he didn't give any money in the offering, he wasn't a good guy, he was a bad guy. They were killing him. And he looks over at Jesus, he says, this man is perfect. Jesus says, remember me when you come to your kingdom. Jesus says to him, today you will be with me in paradise. In other words, we know that guy went to heaven. Question, did he get baptized first? Answer, no, he didn't, so we know that. Paul was considered a brother before he was baptized. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, you got the story of Paul's conversion. In verses 15 through 17, the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear the name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." Ananias went his way and entered into the house, laying hands on him, on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul." Now, you don't call somebody brother till they're saved, see? Because he's not your brother in Christ until he's saved. He's a fellow human being, but he's not your brother. He was considered a believer, you understand? Saul was converted, and then he was baptized. This is another example, okay? You'll have these in notes if you want to study that more. The Bible says that baptism is a work. It's a good work. It's a work you should do. But the Bible also says that you're not saved by works. I'll give you a couple examples. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You get that? That's kind of an important verse. How are you saved? You're saved by grace through faith and not of works. And then after you're saved, the next verse says, you are created for good works. So you do the good works, but it's because you're saved, not to get saved. Do you know if you went to work tomorrow, you started talking to people, very few people get that. And some of those people were in church today. It's amazing how many people just don't get what the Bible says. It's right there in the Bible. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Titus 3:5. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Those are kind of big sounding Bible words. But what it's saying there is you get cleansed and clean and pure not when you get baptized. You get cleansed and clean and pure when you get saved. And then Jesus gives you his righteousness, and he takes your sin upon himself. And then later on, the baptism is a drama or a picture or a symbol of that. It's a work that you do after you're saved. You're not saved by works. You should do this work after you're saved, but you're not saved by works. Therefore, you understand, you're saved before you're baptized. You're not saved because you're baptized. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17, you have Paul kind of making an argument. Hey, I led you to the Lord, but I didn't baptize you. Well, now, wait a minute. If you got to be baptized to be saved, why would he ever have said that? Do you understand? He's saying you were saved, and then later you were baptized. Do you get this? You might think, well, why are you going over that so much? I'll tell you why. As a pastor, 30 years, I sit and I talk to people. You would think they would totally understand this stuff, and they just don't. And it makes me wonder what's going on. Like, people aren't listening? No, that's not it. There is a dark, there's a kind of like a dark cloud of ignorance that Satan wants to keep people in, because he knows if they get this, they're going to get set free. He knows if they get this, their sins are going to be forgiven. He knows if they get this, they're not going to live under the guilt and shame of their past sin anymore. Their whole life is going to change. He knows they're going to have eternal life. So he doesn't want them to understand. So that's why we belabor these things. The Bible says that Jesus saved many, but he didn't baptize. John chapter 4 and verse 2, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples did the baptizing, right? In John, it says that. But then it also says in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who are lost. And so you have this here. Jesus saved people. He came to seek and save people. He saved people, and then somebody else baptized them. Get it? So in other words, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. You're saved, then you're baptized later. That's what the Bible teaches, all right? The Bible also gives an example there of the gospel, like in the 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. You've heard people talk about the gospel all the time. It just means the message of good news. And the message of good news is that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day and that he was seen alive afterward. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. That's the gospel. What's the gospel? That Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again, that he was seen alive. When you believe that, you pass from death into life. You're saved. Kind of amazing. It's hard to just believe that. But that's the gospel. It doesn't say, hey, here's the gospel. Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, he rose again, and when you're baptized, you get saved. Does not say that. Doesn't say that. Okay? Not sacraments, not sprinkling, not communion. No work saves you. Jesus Christ alone. His work in dying and rising again. His perfect righteousness given to you before God and your dark sins and your guilt over on him. Hey, that's a wonderful thing. Can you be saved without being baptized? Yes, baptism doesn't save you. Now, here's another one. This is tough to talk about because it involves people. Sometimes people baptize infants or they sprinkle infants. What does the Bible say about that? It's really important that we just talk about what the Bible says about that. It doesn't. It doesn't say that. You understand, I know I'm treading on thin ice with folks because if you, your mother or your grandmother loved you very much and your grandfather, your grandmother had spiritual inclinations and wanted the best for you, they might have taken you to church when you're little and had you dedicated or sprinkled, and that might have been the best light that they had. Now, the only problem with that is that there are church traditions that teach that. But that is not in the Bible, God's Word. And we got to stick with what God's Word says, or we're just like blowing around this church tradition or that one. Let me give you some things about this. There is no command to baptize infants in the Scripture anywhere. It is not in the Bible. There is no example of infant baptism in the Bible. You will never find one. It's not in there. There is no instruction about dealing with infant baptism in the Bible. So if God wants us to baptize our infants, why aren't there any examples of that? Why aren't there any instructions and why aren't there any commands? We don't baptize infants. What should you do if you find out your baptism isn't scriptural? Let's say that you're studying the Bible and you thought that what you did was right. And you study the Bible and you go, look at this. This is not really baptism according to the Bible. What should I do? Well, there are examples in the Bible. You should be baptized scripturally in humble obedience to the Lord. You should just say, okay, I understand more. Now I'm going to obey you, Lord. That's just the way it should be. As a matter of fact, if you were not baptized scripturally, you weren't baptized. And so you want to say, well, it's not about, it's about simple, humble obedience to the Lord, doing what the Lord said. And that's the way it is when you deal with the Lord, it's serious business. You want to do what the Bible says. It's just that simple. And so you should be, I say, rebaptized in quotes, because you're not really being rebaptized. You're being baptized for the first time. Now, it's vital that you have a clear conscience on this. You have this wonderful example in the Bible, this guy named Apollos. I don't know about you, but when I read about Apollos, he's just kind of a neat guy. He's eloquent in the scriptures. He's a fervent. He's a great guy. He understands a lot, but he doesn't understand about baptism yet. Somebody hears him preaching. They're like, he's sharp, but he's not sharp enough. He needs to know some more stuff. They take him aside, and they instruct him further, and then what happens? Though he had the baptism of John, he gets the New Testament baptism. And so this is the mark of a person with a great heart. They don't have the attitude like, well, you know, that's just not what I've done, or they don't put their opinion over the Bible. Am I being gentle enough with you? In other words, we're not talking about our church. We're not talking about our tradition here. We're not talking about my opinion over some other pastor or priest or religious leader. We're not talking about that. We're just humbly saying, the only way I know that I know that I know anything about God is this book right here, the Bible. That's the only way I know that I know anything. So what I get out of this book. And I challenge you to study the book and see, that's what this book says. And so you have that example. Should infants be baptized? No. And what should I do if I find out that my baptism wasn't scriptural or wasn't complete? Well, then you should get baptized. Now, there's another question. How should you get baptized? And in other words, we call that, what's the mode of baptism? You know, how should you get baptized? I don't want to throw you off here or surprise any of you, but there are groups that baptize in a number of different ways. There's a group, for instance, that baptizes three times forward. There are groups that sprinkle and call it baptism. And there are other various types of some sects, if you will baptize only outdoors or only in running water. There's just interesting stuff if you study about that. But here's what the New Testament shows, and this is by inference and by example in the New Testament. I'll show you that. I think you'll see that. What mode or method of baptism does the Bible teach? We believe that the Bible teaches immersion, and here's why. Immersion requires much water, and in the Bible, this is what it would say. So he commanded, this is in Acts chapter 8 and verses 38 and 39, the Ethiopian eunuch, when he was saved, he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. They're down in the water. Here's another example in Matthew 13:16. John chapter 3, verse 23, John also was baptizing because there was much water there, and they came to be baptized. Immersion requires much water. The examples in the Bible are places where they get baptized, where there's a lot of water. Immersion pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. As an example of this in Romans 6, using baptism as a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so you saw the girls get baptized tonight. They were baptized in a symbolism that's obviously death, burial, resurrection. That's the drama he wants us. So with the Lord's Supper and with baptism, he wants us to call back to mind the thing that saved us, the death of our perfect Savior, Jesus Christ. And so when we're baptized as a symbolic, as a drama showing that. There are other examples in the Scripture. The Greek word baptizo means dip or immerse. The word is transliterated. If it was straight translated, it would be translated to immerse or to dip. And then the universal practice of the early church was baptism. You have kind of the argument of history on your side. Immersion was the universal practice of the early church. Does that make sense? Let's ask another question. Why should I be baptized? You sit and you think about this. Why should I be baptized? Well, first of all, if you're not a Christian yet, you shouldn't be thinking about this right now. That's not the main thing. You'll be thinking about it real soon. Main thing is just this. Think about it. If you were to die on the way home tonight, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? I didn't ask if you came here to church a lot or if you do something nice for God. Are you confident that you would go to heaven? I know a lot of people think, they would think, I would never say that because that'd be like bragging. That'd be like me saying, I'm somebody, and how can I say I know that I'm going to heaven? Well, here's the deal. It's not that you're going, I'm a good person, therefore I'm going to heaven. No. According to the Bible, salvation is like this. I know I'm a bad person, and I'm hopelessly lost. There's no hope and no help for me. Oh, Jesus' righteousness is going to be given to me freely, and my sin is going to be paid for by Jesus. Now, that's a good deal, people. And when the lights go on and you get that, you're like, oh my goodness, what have I been doing all my life? Now, why do you go to church? You don't go to church so that, you know, you're in a good place in case Jesus comes back and you don't want to be caught in a bad place, right? You don't go to church because you feel guilty and like somebody's going to, you know, because you got to go, you know, punish yourself for a couple hours every week because you've been bad. That's not why you go to church. You go to church because you're so deliriously happy that Jesus forgave you, that he delivered you. You want to sing about it. You want to talk about it. You want to read about it. You want to pray about it. It just changes you. That's the way it works. You just love the Lord. That's what happens. So why should you be baptized then? After you're saved, why should you be baptized? Well, because you want the blessing of the Lord, because you fear the discipline of the Lord, and because you love God. Let me go through that just a little bit. I want you to example of my... I remember all the way back to many years ago when our firstborn Kyle was just a little boy. We had this little black and white TV, and it was on kind of a bad stand that could easily tip over. So he would toddle over to that television, and he would start to touch the television. I remember this really well. I'm in my recliner, Now, you might want to make a note of this. It's not going to be in the notes. Men don't like getting out of their recliners. Okay? If you didn't know that coming in, it might be good for you to just, I mean, people, they don't like that. Okay, so I'm in my recliner, and I'm like, oh, no, Kyle, no. And so he like freezes, like, he's a real sensitive little guy. He's like, he stops. You know, and then he starts to do it again. I said, I'm going to spank you if you touch that again. If you touch that, I'm going to spank you. What is that? That's manipulating a kid with fear. That's what that is. Don't laugh. You've done it too. You just say, hey, I'm going to spank you. Am I going to have to beat you, son? You know, I had never disciplined my boy in anger, but probably a few times, and had to seek the Lord's forgiveness for that. For the most part, the Lord allowed me to keep his heart because I didn't discipline him in anger. But a lot of times, I disciplined him. And he obeyed me because he didn't want to get hurt. And that's a good reason for you to obey God. I'm just saying, it's just the way it is. Now, Lois, on the other hand, she had a different view of things. We'd be at the park, you know, we'd be playing, having a good time. I'm like, stop crying and get off the swing and go get in the car or I'm going to give you a spanking. That was like my default mode. Lois's default mode was, hey, you want to go to Dairy Queen? Then he's like, yeah. Yeah. And so there's no crying or anything. But that's why his teeth rotted out at 3. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't. Just kidding. But he would go. So she would like bribe. Now, what that is another level of motivation. That's like, hey, you want good things to happen? Do what God says. Now, here's the deal. If you don't do what God says, it's not going to be good for you. So it's a good reason to do what God says because you fear God. Hey, that's all right. So you don't want to go to hell. Well, you're smart. Who would want to go to hell? But on the other hand, God has good things for you, right? And it's the way it is with baptism. Any obedience. If you don't obey the Lord, it's not going to be good for you. If you do obey the Lord, it is going to be good for you. And so sometimes we just obey the Lord because we want his blessings. But as Kyle got older, I noticed something about him. We did a lot of stuff together. We went a lot of places together. We spent a lot of time together. I took him with me everywhere I could. I won his heart, and he had my heart from the very, very beginning. And to this day now, he's a big grown-up guy, and he has little boys of his own. And he lives in another state, and he doesn't have to do a thing I say. But God has allowed me to have an influence on his life because he really loves me and because he loves the Lord. Do you see what God wants from you? He doesn't just want you to serve him out of fear, although that's better than going to hell. He doesn't want you to serve him just because of what you get, even though it is kind of neat, the things that God gives you. He wants you to serve him because you love him. He wants you to go to heaven, not just to get good stuff there, because you love him so much, you want to spend eternity with him, and you want to be with him. He doesn't want you to avoid hell just to stay out of the fire and the fear and the terror of hell. He doesn't want you to go to hell because you would be separated from him forever without any hope of ever being with God, your Creator. And so, understand this. Disobedience always brings conflict and discipline. Obedience always brings blessing. That's true. But obedience also brings joy. You know the Ethiopian eunuch, the guy we've been talking about who got baptized? In Acts chapter 8, there's this cool little phrase. After he gets baptized, it says he went on his way with joy. Can I tell you one of the things I like to do as a hobby? YouTube videos. Are you with me on this? Yeah. Are you with me? No. Well, I am. Anyway, look at YouTube videos of people's baptisms. What? I can't stand doing that. It kills me. I'm crying like a baby. Seeing people follow the Lord. Rough people, lost people, new Christians, don't know what they're, just new in the Lord, you know, saying they're joyful. One guy I was watching the other day, he got baptized, and it's like video, show the video, and he got baptized, he was like fist pumping. He's like, yes, 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 yes. This thing's so excited. It's a beautiful thing. There is joy in it. Obedience is proof of your love for Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. What are you saying when you're baptized? You're saying, I'm trusting in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ alone for my salvation. You're saying, I want to openly testify that you are my God and no other. You're saying, today I'm beginning a new life of eager, joyful obedience to your commands. It's like you said, obey in baptism. I'm going to do that. What else do you want me to do, Lord? I'm ready to go. You're saying, today I want to be an active, functioning member of your local body, which is shorthand for, I want to be in your church. I want to be in a local church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they were saved, they were baptized, they were added to the number. That's the way it's supposed to work. If you're saved and you don't get baptized, or you make a profession of faith, you don't get baptized, you're going to get stuck there. Keep going. Keep going. Get somebody to help you. Please get somebody to help you. And then get baptized. And then get in the church. And the people are going to love on you in the church. They're going to help you. They help you raise your kids for the Lord. Help you when you're discouraged. They help you when you're short of cash. You'll be able to help somebody else when they lost their job. I wish you could sit where I sit sometimes. See what I see, what God's people do, and they don't want it to be known. And sometimes I'll go to the hospital, or I'll go someplace for a funeral. I'll see somebody going through a sad heartache of a thing, and I'll think, you know, it is pitiful that they don't have a church family around them. It's just pitiful. And then I'll see somebody here, maybe mom passes away, and they're grieving over that. And here their friends come, and they gather around them. They have that, you know, that dinner that they always have in the basement of the church when the real ministry happens. And the pastor is able to comfort them, and then the friends get around them, or you got other men in the church, and you want your boy to have other men that he can look up to, and he gets on the church softball team, and he watches other men play with all their heart, but play like Christians, and they're an example to him. And that's just so valuable. That's so wonderful. You want to be a part of that. You want to have that. And when you're baptized, you're saying, I'm saved. And this is a little bit heavy for some, but the Bible teaches that we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, the church universal. And the Bible teaches, it implies, that we're baptized in water. We're baptized in water into the local church. And that's the example in Acts chapter 2 there and verse 42. Well, I got a little bit more time. Let me just show you this as fast as I can and get you out of here tonight, because you've been really good students tonight, and I appreciate that. Baptism is open public confession of Christ. You're saying, like the girl said tonight, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm going to follow him all of my life. Now, he's going to strengthen those girls. He's already, you understand, when those girls got saved, the Holy Spirit, this is kind of blows your mind. According to the Bible, the Holy Spirit came in them and lives in them, and he will never go away. He lives in those girls. That's amazing. So it's not like their resolve. We encourage people to say, I promise I'll follow the Lord all my life. But let me tell you something. It's not going to be their resolve. It's going to be Jesus living in them. And maybe you're sitting here tonight, you're thinking, I love to be a Christian, but I just can't pull it off because I got all that stuff I got to do, and I got all these, you know, things I want over here, and I just don't know. Listen, you don't have to pull it off. Don't even try. Just put yourself in the Lord's hands. Ask the Lord to help you. His Holy Spirit will help you. You will just be surprised over the years how beautiful your life will become, how beautiful your family can become. And even if your family has all kinds of difficulty, and if you talk to the people that are sitting here tonight and you ask them about their families, there's a lot of heartache. If you ask them about their lives, there's a lot of heartache. But then those same people would say, and Jesus has been a constant friend and guide and companion and comfort in my life through whatever hardship. I've lost jobs, I've gotten jobs, but Jesus has been with me, and I'm happy and I'm joyful in the Lord. And that's what you want. You're saying when you get baptized, I will speak of your testimonies before kings, and I will not be ashamed. When you get baptized, it's a little bit like my wife Lois is sitting over here, and I talked her into marrying me, which is kind of amazing. And when I did, I didn't do it like some people do. They have all these great ideas about how to ask a girl to marry. I should have done that the right way. And I had this really lame idea that I would just buy this ring, that I would drive up, and then I would just give her the ring. Like her mom and her are standing there on the sidewalk, and I just walk up and I go, here you go. And my wife's words were, is it real? You can see it. It's pretty small. And I've regretted that a lot. But I really have regretted more than the size of the ring. I regretted that I didn't make a bigger deal out of it, and I didn't take her out someplace nice and just do it in a better way. So whenever I hear kids' stories about how they did that, I'm always kicking myself. I'm like, you idiot, what were you thinking, you know? But I said to her, will you marry me? And, you know, after she figured out that I was serious and was real, she said yes. We got married over in Ypsilanti at her church, got in the car, drove home together. Can you imagine how sad it would have been for me? This is where you can feel real bad for me here with my little story. If she had said, yeah, I'll marry you, but I don't want to do it publicly. I want to marry you, but on Facebook, I just want to leave it single. Now, I'm an idiot. I think we've already established that. But I would say, I don't want to do it that way. I want to do it like where you take my last name, and you tell all your old friends, you're a married woman now. I mean, I thought you loved me. I hear this all the time. People say, oh yeah, I love Jesus, but I I'm not going to do what Jesus said. I'm not going to go where Jesus sent. I'm not going to obey. Are you kidding? You're not going to publicly go, Jesus is my God? Then I kind of wonder, did you really meet him? Has he really changed your life? And Luke 12, 8 and 9. Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man will confess before the angels of God. He who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. Romans chapter 10 says something very, very similar there. Romans chapter 10. I'm talking about open confession of Christ. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Did you get that? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You get it? That's it. That's amazing. And then the scriptures say, with the heart you believe unto righteousness, but then with the mouth you make a confession of salvation. You openly say, this is my husband. This is my wife. Yeah, yes, these are my kids. Ragamuffins that they are. Yes, they're my kids. And maybe you want to say that about your kids. And the kids that say, yes, this is my dad. Not, yeah, that's the guy that just drove me here, you know. And your Savior, Jesus, I mean, certainly you love him. Baptism is an open public confession of faith in Christ. Well, I could go on at great length tonight just showing you what the Bible says about the obedience, but I'm going to quit right here. And I want to challenge you just with the simplicity of what the Bible teaches, and that is, look at people like this, all right? Look at people in the world like this. People here in the world, they're either born again and they're going to heaven when they die, or they're not born again yet, and if they were to die, they would go to hell. Our job is to love them. Our job is to tell them. Our job is to show them. Our job is to pray. God is the one who works miracles in their hearts, but we pray. We speak of Jesus wherever we go. We give out gospel tracts. We do whatever we need to do. We invite people over for brownies, and we just love on them. We listen to their stories, and eventually we tell them what's important to us so that they can see what we see. So they move from a person who's not born again, who's really going to go to hell, to a person who's born again. And then after that, what's next? You look at them, you go, are they baptized yet or not? Let's get them to the next level. Let's nudge them. You hear me do this all the time. I'm never going to stop doing this. And that is, we look at them, we go, is that person saved? Okay, that person saved. Is that person baptized? Not? That's the next thing. Let's get them in the baptismal waters. Let's wrestle them into the baptistry. Let's help them get baptized. They should be asking you, can I? When can I? When's the next baptismal service? Let's do it. And then after that, what's the next step? And then the paths take all kinds of beautiful ways. God takes people in amazing, cool places and does amazing, wonderful things with them. I can tell you that from personal experience. I love them with all my heart. How about you? And if you could take these things maybe and instruct your own children very carefully, and then eventually when folks in a neighborhood want to understand, you can help them. So you be thinking about that as we dismiss the service tonight, Pastor.